Darkness had fallen over the high country by the time the weary travellers made it into the woodlands. Al Zillo guided them toward the sound of rushing water, warning every beast to tread carefully. The water sounds increased in volume as the bard and his followers pressed on through the trees. Emerging onto a broad rock ledge, Zillo waited until they had all joined them. Then he called out above the roar of the waterfall.
There she is, friends, Hope Summerdale.
Even in the darkness they could see the magnificent valley. The woodlands were split by the falls, which flowed from the mountains above. Cascading down, the water fell into a pond, spilling over into a broad stream that flowed off down a gentler slope until it was lost amid the woodland trees. Zillo had to shout to be heard.
Keep in single file and follow me along this ledge. Stick close to the side and hold tight, you little uns. We'll be going through the falls, but don't worry. 'Tis safe enough.
He led them a short way along the ledge until it looked as though he could go no further because of the rushing waters of the falls. Turning, the bard grabbed the first two otters on the line. He pushed them straight into the waterfall, shouting,
Get through there! Go on now! Keep going! No beast ever died of a wet head. Come on, mates. Who's next? There's a cave through there. It's good and dry.
The families pressed forward, shouting and yelling as they pushed through the noisy curtain of rushing water. Letho and the clan chieftains waited until every beast was safe inside before entering the cave. It was dark but still and dry inside. Zillo called through the gloom.
Sit down and wait where you are. Banyer, Burl Gully, Largo, bring flints and tinder. Come forward and see if you can make it to the back wall.
After a few moments, the chink of flint against steel set sparks flying in the darkness. Then a faint glow grew into a pale single flame, illuminating Zillo's face.
There's kindling over here. Wood, dried grass and charcoal.
His words created a burst of activity. Soon fires were flaring in all corners, and a large blaze was blossoming in the centre of what appeared to be a spacious and high-ceilinged cave. Diderot gave a cry of alarm as something dark brushed by her face. Zillo calmed her.
Ah, sure, 'tis only some friendly bats, ma'am. They won't harm ye.
The otter mum regained her composure speedily.
A friendly, eh? Well, if these littlins don't get some hot victuals and soft beds soon, it won't be friendly bats you'll have to watch out for. It'll be me and a lot of unfriendly mothers. So let's see some action around this cave.
A quick meal was cobbled together by willing paws. Soon there were flat cakes baking on hot stones and a cauldron of thick soup made from peas, lentils and carrots bubbling over the main fire. An herbal tea was brewed and warm cordial was prepared for the young ones. Though there was plenty for every beast, most of the babes were too tired to eat much. Wulky Chab and Big Colin found moss and dead leaves piled by one wall. They spread them in an alcove, covering the lot with cloaks and some blankets. The young ones of the family snuggled up on this communal bed. It was dry, warm, and above all, safe. Letho sat by the main fire with Colin, Banya, and the clan chieftains, sipping tea and listening to an otter mum singing to the babes. The ever-flowing curtain of water outside cast a vain pattern of red gold, moving light reflected from the fires around the rough-hewn rock walls of the cave. Chab whispered proudly to no beast in particular.
That's my missus singing. She's casting a sleeping spell over the babes with that soft voice of hers.
Big Colin blinked and rubbed his eyes.
Aye, mate. She's got a pretty way with a tune. I think your missus's spell is working on me.